Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a Friday. Thanks for being with us right here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Well, Sprague and the Line coming up at 2:30. Get your fake sponsors into 55305. Some final thoughts on Oregon and Oregon State going into tomorrow, coming up in about 13 minutes from now.
Final thought, Oregon wins big. All right, Oregon State,
interesting game for them. Lots still to get to here in the final hour of the show. Also, we did have a listener source earlier, and I'm just reminded of this because we have a college game day kind of thing going on. They're down there in Dallas, I believe, for TCU Ohio State.
Okay.
And we did have a listener source say that game day people had booked hotel rooms in Eugene.
To which,
for next weekend.
My thought on that is that's probably pretty standard protocol that you book two or three sites and then you cancel the other two.
Do they have any in Seattle as well?
Right.
We don't have any sources in Seattle. We only have sources in Eugene. So there you go. Take that for what it's worth. Okay. Yeah. We do this every Friday. This is a new thing we're doing this year. Pac-12 picks, not against the spread. We're just going straight up.
Yeah.
So right now it's pretty easy. It'll get tougher as the year goes on when you don't get any a lot of these cupcake games.
You get a few in there, though, that can go the other way.
Both you gentlemen had nice weeks last week, and the current leaderboard sits at Sprague, 19-4 the year. I am 18-5.
Pretty good.
And because Swigart had to make up for Mike's lackluster performance, the producer chair is 17-6.
Okay.
So there's your leaderboard for the Pac-12 picks. There are a handful of these that we are just going to go steamrolling through, as in Oregon, San Jose State.
Yep.
Put it on the board. Stanford, UC Davis.
Yes.
Put it on the board. Colorado, New Hampshire.
Yes.
Put it on the board. Cal. And who do they play again? Idaho State.
The Mighty Bengals of Idaho State.
Can I just point one thing out real quick on that?
Okay.
Cal's playing two quarterbacks, which threw me off watching BYU because I've been talking about Ross Bowers all offseason.
Right.
They said, get out of there. They're going the youth movement here.
Yep.
They were really good against BYU. They're going to be 3-0. They'll be three games away from conference play. They get a bye, and then they host Oregon.
The week after Stanford.
Not only is Stanford a circle game for Oregon, I think Oregon fans should be very nervous about going to Berkeley right after Stanford with them coming off of a bye.
Yeah. Sandwich between Stanford and Washington on their schedule.
Yeah. A tough gauntlet.
Well, there's always the Stanford effect, too, of just how beat up you are.
The attrition, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so we're all taking Cal. Is anybody going to take Eastern Washington to upset Washington State?
I wouldn't put it past them, but no.
Not going to pick it. And then the last one that we'll steamroll through, is anybody going to take Southern Utah to knock off Arizona?
No. No.
No, but
if Sumlin can't win this game, he might get fired. He might get Lane Kiffin'd.
I don't know if they would do it so quickly.
Right there, as he's walking through the McHale Center, back to his Kevin.
The school president just came out and basically said, trust the process, calm down.
They're trusting the process?
I don't think he's going to get fired.
It's not a total rebuild.
But this is, if you have any weekend to show people you can turn this
if
around.
You're going to run Khalil Tate and just turn him loose. I mean, if Jamar Jefferson torched him for whatever he torched him for the Beavs, then turn Khalil Tate loose.
But
and
Tate
let him
might not be healthy. That's the problem. And you got conference play starting on the road against Oregon State. This is a do whatever it takes to not put somebody in a bad position and blow somebody out and at least make your fans feel like maybe there's a chance you can turn it around.
One last note on this game for Oregon State fans. Watch it because, as you mentioned, that's an Oregon State opponent in Arizona, and you're going to have a common opponent here. You were up 41-7 at the half. I mean, if Arizona struggles, I'm just saying, I mean, that's just one I'm curious to keep an eye on because you just played Southern Utah the week before.
Yeah, that's the last game of the night, 8 p.m. on which – well, you know, we're still on daylight savings time, so it's 8 p.m. there, too.
8 p.m., yeah, Pac-12 Network. It's 105 on Saturday in Tucson.
So it'll be 90 at kickoff then or something?
Yeah, even last week during that Arizona State-Michigan State game, it's like, it's 98 on the field. I'm sitting at home. It's like, it's 8:50. What is going on? we will start with the probably least amount of intrigue and work our way up. How does that sound? 7:30 FS1, UCLA, the Chipster, trying to get his first win. They are hosting Fresno State, who is fresh off a tough loss to Minnesota last week.
This is one of the tougher games to pick. It actually might be the toughest one to pick in the conference. Fresno State bringing in McMarion and Jeff Tedford. There's no doubt a lot of those players circled this because California, opportunity to go to L.A., I'm actually going to trust the Chipster here to turn it around. I think it's going to be damn close, But I think Dorian Thompson-Robinson and Chip Kelly, they showed me little flashes at Oklahoma. It was a blowout in the final. I get that. But they had some decent moments. I think their offensive line struggled against Oklahoma. They won't quite have those same problems against Fresno State. And I do think they eke one out against Fresno State at home, and Chip gets his first win.
Chip does not get his first win, and I think Fresno is still upset they let one get away against
Minnesota.
Row your boat, yeah. And so they'll be looking to take out the frustration here. And the line started at Bulldogs minus one. It's jumped up to Bulldogs by three at a couple of books.
Yeah, this is, I mean, can you imagine Chip starting 0-3? I mean, I know it's a rebuilding year, but you didn't expect it to be 0-3. You're looking at 6-6. You know, you're not going to go 6-3 in conference play if you can't win an on-conference game.
Let me ask you on Chip. If I would have told you that he went with Dorian Thompson-Robinson coming out of the gate instead of Wilton,
expectations a little bit lower.
But I told you he's going to go 0-3, what would your response have been?
That's not good.
Okay.
And yeah,
because it's not great that he has to play the kid.
No.
But he also went with a completely different quarterback than his system's used to.
Right.
And I think even if he would have told Bruin fans, hey, I'm going with the freshman, let's go, I don't think any of them would have believed somebody if they said, hey, they could start 0-3.
Hey, because of that, I will take UCLA. I know Fresno State was a tough one for them to lose last weekend. You got the freshman kid, a lot of playing time now. It's back at home. I'll take UCLA this weekend. Next one up, in a game that I told you all earlier, I don't really care about that much. USC, fresh off a performance that put me to sleep. They are on the road at Texas. Texas is a slight favorite in this game.
Yeah, and I like Texas on this one. I think this is a tough situation. Herman and the Longhorns, remember last year's game, which was a wild one in L.A. 5 o'clock, everybody's watching. I think the team understands how big this is, and I think Herman's going to be able to outcoach Clay Helton, put JT Daniels in some tough situations. And I think Texas is gonna walk away with this one.
Biggest problem for the Trojans right now is they can't rush the football. They don't have that special tailback, which is mind-boggling. And if you can't run the football on the road and you're putting everything on a true freshman quarterback in a hostile environment, I don't care what uniform you're wearing. So I'll take the Longhorns.
Yeah, let's make it 3-for-3. There is zero confidence right now in USC. The way they started against UNLV, it took them a long time to get going, which is somewhat understandable in week one. And look, I get it. Stanford is a solid program, and maybe they're better defensively than people are giving them credit for. But coming into the year, that was the weak part of their football team. Everybody thought if Stanford has a down year this year, it's going to be because of the defense. And I'm still waiting to see them play a legitimate offense because San Diego State doesn't have it, and clearly USC doesn't have it. Because of that freshman quarterback on the road, I'll take Texas. Give me the Longhorns to get the win. Next one up, another one of the night games on Saturday night. The Herminator, now freshly in the top 25.
Right.
On the road at San Diego State.
Their D coordinator, he used to be the D coordinator for San Diego State last year. So there's a little bit of knowledge going on with what Rocky Long and his team are going to do. San Diego State might not be what they were last year, but I expect this one to be a little tougher. Because a lot of people at Arizona State are fat and sassy this week, but I will still take Manny Wilkins and the Sun Devils to get a close win at San Diego State.
Yeah, the most impressive thing has been how disciplined Arizona State is. They're not committing crazy wild turnovers. They're not committing stupid penalties anymore, and that will bode well for you. And at the end of the day, N'Keal Harry and Manny Wilkins can make something happen at the end, which we saw after three quarters of struggling to get the offense going. You know, they finally got some key plays late, and I think they'll pull this one out as well.
Yeah, another one we'll go 3-for-3 on. If I was Arizona State, too, I would go back and watch that Stanford film. You remember in that first half, Stanford couldn't move the ball, and then all of a sudden they just started lobbing it up to Arcega-Whiteside, and San Diego State didn't know what to do defensively, and they broke up a bunch of long touchdowns. Arizona State, just throw it up to N'Keal Harry. He's the best wide receiver maybe in the country. Lob it up to him. He'll make plays. They should be able to get a win. This is a big one, though, for Arizona State to prove you're, like, above the hangover factor and the disappointing weekend. You got a big one. Everybody's talking about you. Now you got to go do it again. So it's a big one for a trust factor down there. One more game. I think we only got one more. Washington and Utah, the game of the conference. 7 o'clock ESPN. Washington, slight favorite, depending on the book that you're looking at. Anywhere from like 5 to 6 points. Huskies on the road at Utah.
Can't go against your parlay pick. You got to take the team you take, and I will take Washington in this one. I am extremely nervous. We're probably going to lose 5 of the 7 parlay picks that we have, but I want to go on the record right now and say I am most nervous about this game. Bill Conley has it around a 5-point difference. The Pac-12 Network has aired last year's game like 93 times in 2 days, and I just keep telling myself, of course Utah's probably going to keep this at a field goal game, but I'll ride with the Huskies here to cover.
I think the Huskies will, their defense is usually comes up with the key play of this game to turn it around. And we'll see too, you know, the main thing for Washington, they can get Myles Gaskin going, take a little bit of heat off of Browning and not make him feel like he's got to beat everybody by himself. You're talking about the guy who is eventually going to be the all-time leading rusher in that program, which is ridiculous.
Well, he is.
Or
he passed him last week. 2 weeks ago. Auburn.
Wow.
So
that's crazy.
If you can't get him going, then it's going to be bite your nails all night. But the defense, I think, will give them the ball on a short field at some point and allow them to get a cushion in the second half.
Yeah, and that's where I kind of reside on this one. There's all sorts of questions about Browning and Washington's offense, and I totally understand it. The thing we don't have a question about is their defense. And if Utah struggles to score the ball against Northern Illinois, who maybe has a better defense than people understand, their defense is nowhere near the defense of Washington's.
Right.
Because of that, I mean, that's why I circled this game. I love the Huskies in this one. I think it's a statement kind of performance from them. They sleptwalked through North Dakota last week. They got something to prove. I think they're still angry about that Auburn loss and knowing they let one get away. And here is now where your test begins. You lose an opener to Auburn, you got to go perfect if you want to make it to the college football playoff. And this is their first test on that road to perfection. And I will take the Huskies to win over Utah. There you go. Pac-12 picks. We do them every single Friday at 2 o'clock. A reminder, Sprague currently in the lead. He's got a solid 19-4 record through 2 weeks. This will toughen up. It's kind of our last cupcake week, and then we'll get a lot of Pac-12 matchups starting next week. Don't forget, Sprague in the Line is at the bottom of the hour, so your fake sponsors are welcome at 55305. Let's take a last look at the Oregon and Oregon State game. Can Oregon State do this? Can we get a 2-1 start? What quarterback should play? We'll talk about that game next on 1080 The Fan. Hey, Kevin Todd coming up in 12 minutes. Rebecca Black coming up in about a half hour.
There we go, baby.
We didn't pick one of the games there because we're going to talk about it here. And that is the Oregon State Beavers on the road at Nevada. Now, this game, again, reminder, if you didn't see the news, it came out yesterday, the day before. It is now on TV. It was going to be on the ESPN Plus stuff.
Yes.
Now it is on ESPNU because some of the games got canceled because of Hurricane Florence.
Mm-hmm.
So you now have a channel. You can see it on ESPNU. It's a 4 o'clock kick. Nevada is still a slight favorite. But, you know, look, we've had some thoughts on this game all week. I really am excited because I think as the weeks go on in a football season for Oregon, this case will be next week when they play Stanford. I'm excited to learn who a team is. Mm-hmm. And when you have two games like Oregon State has had, you don't know. You get blown out by Ohio State, you're supposed to. You beat up on Southern Utah, you're supposed to. Nevada is not great, but it is a good test game for them, and I can't wait to watch them tomorrow afternoon.
I just think it's a good opportunity for a guy like Jonathan Smith that was so accustomed with Chris Peterson in Washington of taking care of business and sending messages. I think this is his chance to send a message to his team. Not to the conference, not to Nevada, not to anybody else but his team. And that's the most important part. You go into Nevada and you go into Reno. Those fans can be pretty decent. We've seen in the past when, like, the Kaepernick years when they were playing Boise State, they can be loud. I don't know if they'll be that way with this year's team, but you go on the road, you're a little banged up, but you still have a true freshman running back stud in Jamar Jefferson. Connor Blount, to me, has proved to be the better quarterback of the two that we've seen thus far.
Mm-hmm.
And you get Trevon Bradford out there, put some points up, continue to look competent offensively. And then you hope defensively, as bad as that group may end up being at the end of the year, the second half for Southern Utah was exactly what Tim Tebasar and that coaching staff didn't want but needed, because it was not a performance you were happy with, but it allows you another week of preparation and to say, guys, this is inexcusable. That offense from Southern Utah shouldn't be doing that to you. Now, Nevada, I believe, is going to be another level above that.
For sure.
And so now you get to see how your group responds to that. Even though they aren't very deep on defense, they're dealing with injuries, obviously. this is a good weekend for the defense to maybe feel some confidence going into conference play. And I think it's a message-sending game for Jonathan Smith to his program that these games are no longer acceptable to go on the road and lose.
Yeah, and I think to have that moment, too, to teach as a coaching staff of you're not there yet. Like, you're not to the point of a program that you can take your foot off the gas and just kind of expect to cruise to a 40-point win like some other teams can. And it was showing. I mean, they took their foot off the gas. Southern Utah, they didn't really make it a game, but at least they made the score a lot closer than the entire game actually looked. And they only ended up losing by 23. I mean, that was a 41-7 game at the half. They outscored you in the second half. So I think that's a great teaching moment. You can't take anything for granted. You're still rebuilding. You're still there trying to take those steps as a program in year zero. And I think that's something that the coaching staff will point out on film.
I think Vanderbilt, it'd be fair to say Vanderbilt is obviously ahead of where Oregon State is, but they're not known as an SEC power by any means. Watching them go 41-10 against Nevada is something Smith can take away because, one, their ground game for Vanderbilt wasn't bad, but their leading rusher was Kajan Vaughn. He had 93 yards on the ground. That's a good day, but they really got it going through the air as well. And I think this is one of those examples where if you send Blount out there, or let's say he goes Luton, whoever it is, there should be no excuse to not be able to throw the ball because Vanderbilt just showed you can do that. Now, even if Bradford's not out, we know Togiai is still not ready. You've got a guy in Isaiah Hodgins who stepped up this past week and had four catches for 59 yards.
Yes, he did.
You need your collective play, the collective groups at these positions to step up week to week. And this is an opportunity. If Bradford's not out there, there's still no excuse. Wide receivers should still be out there being able to catch the ball. We saw Vanderbilt do it a week ago. Oregon State will have their opportunities to put some points on the board. It's just a matter of can their defense finally step up and have like a good weekend.
Well, and people are texting in about the Art Pierce injury, and that's no doubt a tough blow. That kid's so much fun to watch, and the numbers bear it out, what he was able to do against Ohio State, and then even the start he was off to against Southern Utah, running all over them. I will say the teams have certain position groups where you can maybe overcome it in a short span. And I think for Oregon State, because of the development, what you've seen from Jefferson as a freshman, that's one of those position groups. Like if Jamar Jefferson didn't come out and rush for 200 some yards against Southern Utah and didn't make any noise against Ohio State, you'd be sitting here with a little bit more of a panic than you actually do. But at least you feel okay in knowing, look, I mean, this kid's a stud. He's going to be a monster, especially as the years go on.
Yep.
He's only going to get better with each passing game because of how young he is. I feel okay against Nevada. If this was maybe Arizona, it would be a different conversation. You're on the road out of ASU in a couple of weeks. Like, those might be different conversations. But against a team like Nevada, I don't think that's going to kill their offense. I think they'll be okay in the running game.
Right, and I kind of feel the same. Like, Art Pierce, he is better, but I think what Jefferson has shown you, he had a decent showing at Ohio State, even though they're getting blown out. And he obviously had probably the second best performance in the Pac-12 last week and against Southern Utah. So I think he is showing you that he can take the workload that the coaching staff wants to give him. But if he's able to get it going on the ground again against Nevada, I'm actually not going to be as concerned against even Arizona. Arizona's been terrible on defense.
That's very true. Arizona has, yeah.
You can say the opponents, BYU and Houston, are better, and I wouldn't argue those points. But watching them defensively, they look like a group that's giving up, and they're 2 weeks into their season. So unless they show me some crazy turnaround, I think if Jamar Jefferson gets it going this weekend again, they're going to go into conference play, and they're going to love having Art Pierce back 2 weeks from that point. But they would go into conference play still pretty confident and be excited about what they got on the ground.
Well, and it's been huge, too, I think, with Connor Blount and just helping him out. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but I'd be willing to bet that Oregon State's rush offense hasn't been near the top of the conference the last couple of years. They've really struggled to get a running game going. So I think that just makes a quarterback's life so much easier. And for Blount, I think the main thing for him is continuing to not turn the football over. He has shown you that not only is he a competent passer, but he's protecting the football as well. He did it against Ohio State, and that's going to be maybe outside of Washington the best defense he faces all year, and he didn't turn the football over. So when you have a defense that is as bad as Oregon State's, and that's likely not going to change throughout the course of the season, you have to be extra extra protective of the football, because if you start handing your defense some short fields or you get down seven and then you throw a pick, next thing you know, things are going to snowball on you. So he's been great protecting the ball. I think he'll do it again this week. We got to pick this game. I will take Oregon State. I think they win. I came into the year thinking they could go 2-1 in non-conference and then sneak a game from somebody in the Pac-12 to get to 3-9. I'm going to take Oregon State this weekend.
I, too, will go Oregon State in this one, and this would make me rethink my prediction of the under of 2.5. I know, again, that defense is terrible. So if they can show me that they can be competent against Nevada and not give up a ton of yards, a ton of points, there's probably a couple offenses in this conference I could say, hey, they come to Corvallis, it's rainy, it's cold, their offense isn't that great, Oregon State can put up points. It would make me rethink the over on the 2.5 wins, but I will take the Beavs.
Yeah, I think the offense will be able to keep them in the game, and then it will be, can the defense get a key stop? The one thing you'd like to see maybe the defense come up with is a few more turnovers.
Yeah.
And so if they can find an interception or force a fumble or something, you know, get on a punt return or something like that, give their offense a short field. But they will have to at some point make a key stop or get a key turnover. If they do that, then I could see them winning by, you know, 8 or 9.
Yeah, pretty boring Pac-12 picks from us this week. We picked every game the same outside of Fresno State, UCLA.
Yeah, but I think two of us picked UCLA, right?
How do you go
elsewhere?
How do you go? And a lot of these, it's like, what are you going to pick?
Unless you're a Beaver fan, you really only have two good games. Yeah. Arizona State, San Diego State, and right. that. I don't know if that game's great. Right. And then Washington, Utah.
One final thought on Oregon, San Jose State. Here's your key to the game. Stay healthy.
Yes.
Boom. There you go. Survive, blow them out, win by 42, stay healthy.
Yeah, the biggest win they're going to have is if they walk off the field with everybody healthy.
Then you know you're good going into conference play, and we finally get to see Justin Herbert against a legitimate Pac-12 team, which is next week when Stanford comes to town. There you go. Some thoughts on Oregon State and Nevada. We do have a poll question on that. We'll give you the results at the end of the show. But it is time to spread the line, ladies and gentlemen. Get your fake sponsors in, 55305. Our boy Kevin Todd will join us. We'll try and give you some winners on the other side. But first, here is Swag with SportsCenter.
Spragging the line.
Spragging the line.
Spragging the line.
Spragging the line.
Hey, Spragging the Line brought to you by Pineapple on Pizza. The only idea stupider than taking Sprague's advice.
Oh, no.
Spragging the Line brought to you by Chlamydia. Maybe it's not the biggest deal, but your wife's going to be pissed when she finds out.
Wow. We're swinging, huh?
Spragging the Line brought to you by the Portland Trees. We are so hard and big, women love us. Spragging the Line brought to you by 8 Inches, the preferred size of both Dirt and Sprague. Why do we suck so much?
Half a second and 6 inches is all that they need.
I believe we both did say that
off
this week. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Did we?
I think so.
We agreed on 8.
Yeah.
Huh?
Spragging the Line brought to you by the Lamar Jackson package, all flash, no cash.
My buddy has the package.
Spragging the Line brought to you by Bionic Units. When you need a segment to go long, we can go all night.
Oh.
Spragging the Line brought to you by Hurricane Florence. Blowhards got to stick together.
Did you see this weatherman exaggerating the wind?
Yeah, two people walk behind him like nothing's going on. We'll get one more in here. Where is he? Spragging the Line brought to you by Micah. Waiting for the other one to drop almost as long as Sprague has waited for a winning pick.
One of them zippity-doo-dah days.
All right, let's get to it, shall we? Spragging the Line time. Time to bring our boy Kevin Todd on. Kevin, what happened last week, man?
I think I won one game.
You did. You got one. Sprague went 3-0. I'm not buying this. I think he's cheating.
Yeah, he probably saw the games before they even happened. Listen, every dog has their day.
That's right. Everyone does. We got Kevin.
Where do we stand? What am I, 2-4?
So right now, you are 2-4. He is 3-3. So yeah, that's only a one game difference.
Well,
okay.
He lost money. I don't.
I'm going 3-0 this week. I guarantee it.
Oh, here we go. I love it. Off to a good start. Kevin Todd Sports on Twitter. 1-800-220-6262. Sportsbrokers.com. Sprague, you went 3-0 last week.
Mm-hmm.
The floor is yours, my man. Who is your first pick?
I will go to the NFL. This game is actually the most interesting 10 a.m. start time game that you have out there. And I don't care what happens with this guy, whether he's on, whether he's off. And I'm going to Minnesota Green Bay. I know it's all about Aaron Rodgers. Is he healthy? How's his rehab going? Is he going to play? This is a pick 'em. Some sites, you won't be able to find it, but on the books, you can bet this is a pick 'em. And I'm betting Minnesota, with or without Aaron Rodgers. I know he's amazing. I watched what he did last weekend. I just think Minnesota's defense is maybe the worst thing for him to go against, especially seeing what that pass rush was able to do in Chicago. I think Minnesota can put a little more pressure on him again in the second week in a row. I think Kirk Cousins and that offense are going to be able to move the ball better against the Green Bay defense than they were San Francisco's defense. I'm taking Minnesota in the pick 'em.
Okay, Vikings over the Packers with the pick 'em. Kevin, where are we going with our first pick this week?
I'm going in the NFL as well. I think we're getting a lot of value here based on the public perception of how these teams played the previous week. I love the Eagles in this spot, -3, for a few reasons. One, they've had 10 days to prepare for this game. Two, the reason why this line is low, fellas, is because of the way that Tampa Bay went on the road and beat New Orleans. Do not fall for that trap, folks. Tampa is that bad. New Orleans' defense is that bad. And also, because Philadelphia didn't play that well at home against Atlanta. But you know who's going to win this team for Philly? The defense. They're laying 3. If Tampa would have ended up losing like they're supposed to, this line would have been 7. Let me tell you right now, Eagles are 4-0 against the spread their last 4 games overall. And they're 10-2. Their last 12 games following an ATS win. Love Philly laying the 3 here on the road in Tampa.
Eagles -3 at Tampa. We got the 70% man himself, Kevin Todd. Kevin Todd Sports on Twitter, 1-800-220-6262. Sports Brokers, thesportsbrokers.com. All right, Sprague, where's pick number 2?
I'm going to go to college football, and I know some people are not going to appreciate this, but I'm sorry. It's how I feel about it, and I'm going to go to Reno, Nevada, where Oregon State is on the road against the Wolfpack, and right now they are 3.5-point dogs. No Art Pierce. The defense has been very shaky. Trayvon Bradford is a question mark, although Jonathan Smith made it sound more optimistic he plays. I think they're going to be okay. Jamar Jefferson's obviously he's proven himself for the first 2 weeks. He can take the ball and he can make up for what Art Pierce may be able to give you. I think they'll be fine against Nevada. Defensively, I expect them to make a couple big stops. And even if they're able to lose this game, I still think it's a field goal game. So I'm going to take Oregon State plus the 3.5 here.
Ballsy to gamble on your team. Beavers plus the 3.5 at Nevada. All right, Kevin, where are we going? Pick number 2.
Well, I'm going into college football. And finally, this team is getting respect, but they're still catching points on the road. Don't care. They win the game outright. I love Boise State plus the 2. Ooh. On the road. This game opened up before. It's down to 2. They're playing at Oklahoma State. Guys, I lost too much power to the NFL Oklahoma State. One of them, Mason Rudolph. Mm-hmm. The other one, James Washington. This Boise State team has a chance to make it to the playoff as an underdog. They win this game, they are going to run the table and would not be surprised if they're considered to be in the college playoffs. Boise's 4-0 against the spread their last 4 non-conference games. 6-1 against the spread the last 7 games following a straight-up win. Love Boise State in this spot. They're finally getting the respect they deserve. The line is going down because it's wise guy money. The public is betting Oklahoma State, guys, and the line is going down. It's a reverse line movement. Boise State plus the 2, outright winner.
Yeah, people loving that game this week. I'm all over that one as well. Love it. Boise State plus the 2 at Oklahoma State. We got Kevin Todd on at Kevin Todd Sports, thesportsbrokers.com. Sprague, where is your last pick this week?
I'm actually going to go to a big college football game, and I'm going to go to a neutral site here, Ohio State and TCU. You and I have talked about this line a couple times this week. Mm-hmm. It's a weird line. It's Ohio State -12.5 in Dallas. But I don't think the neutral site's going to hold up here. I actually think there's going to end up being more Ohio State fans than there are TCU, which is just unbelievable. Ohio State, look, I watched them against Oregon State, and I think Haskins is the real deal. I think he's going to find himself in New York if he continues to play at this level. And it's their last game before Urban Meyer. This is a statement. There's a reason it's at 12.5. I think they're going to end up running away with this one. I think this is going to be something along the lines of 42-21 type feel. Close early, but too much offense for TCU. I'm going to take Ohio State -12.5.
Lay in the big wood. Lay in the big wood in Dallas. Ohio State -12.5. All right, KT, where's the last pick this week?
My last pick, I'm going on another road game. If you remember, this team scored 38 points before Arizona even got on the scoreboard. Now they're going on the road. Two Texas Tech fellas. They're playing with revenge. They lost last year 27-24 at home. This Houston team is much improved. I'm not sold on Texas Tech. Houston is 21-8-1 against the spread. Their last 30 road games, 13-6 their last 19 non-conference games against the spread. I love this Houston team. This is another dark horse team. This line went from plus one to minus 1.5. Don't worry, folks. Houston should win this game by at least a touchdown or more.
Okay, there you go. Here's a recap of the picks. We got Sprague. He's taking the Vikings in a pick 'em over the Packers. He's taking his Beavers plus the 3.5 at Nevada, and then Ohio State laying the wood minus 12.5 against TCU in Dallas. And then Kevin Todd's going the Eagles minus 3 at Tampa. Boise State plus the 2 at Oklahoma State, and then Houston minus the 1.5 at Texas Tech. Boom. I love it. Hey, you staying out of the hurricane out there?
I'm not even close to the hurricane.
It's not hitting Florida? You're not getting any of that residual rain and not hitting you down there?
Nah, we're getting nothing but sunshine and 90 degrees.
Ooh,
when I go home to my wife, it's a hurricane.
Oh, my God.
Kevin Todd on Twitter, at Kevin Todd Sports,
1-800-220. I can say that because she's not listening.
Exactly.
No,
she's not a P1
Well,
on
that
the
could
show.
Be a good thing. It could also be a bad thing. He's all over the place. He doesn't know what's going on.
Right. You guys remember that Budweiser commercial when the guy was the referee? He was getting screamed at on the field. Then he goes home and he gets screamed at and he just sits there and takes it. You remember that commercial?
Yes. I remember that one, yeah.
That's me.
Check him out at thesportsbrokers.com. Hey, man, we always love it. You're one game behind Sprague, so we'll get a big weekend out of you, and we'll talk to you next Friday, all right?
Take care. Take care, gentlemen. I'll speak to you next week.
There you go. Kevin Todd, every single Friday. Spring and Live brought to you by Diet Johnson. When your co-host is insulted when not referred to as dirt, maybe your picks make sense.
Diet Johnson.
Spring and Live brought to you by Summer's Eve Feminine Products. Wait, on second thought, Sprague's picks are douchey even to us.
Wow.
People going dirty today.
People going real dirty.
Spring and Live brought to you by Sprague's friend, who he won't see tonight at the birthday party.
Happy birthday!
Spring and Live brought to you by Bionic Units. His picks will pump you up only to be deflated by the reality of an inevitable loss. Sprague and Live brought to you by 1080 The Fan Midday with Diet and Craig, fat and sassy. Ah, Dirt and Sprague, one third still better than a Sprague
betting
weekend.
Just get all fat and sassy.
Spring and Live brought to you by your local sources, just as reliable as these picks.
Ouch.
Spring and Live brought to you by Michael Kendricks. I got some hot picks too.
Got some info.
Spring and Line brought to you by the Seattle Seahawks. We're desperate after 1 week as well.
I know you don't like the Ohio State pick.
I do not like the Ohio State pick.
You're on the TCU plus 12.5 trade.
I like a couple of the big dogs this weekend. I like the TCU with the big dog, and I like LSU the big dog.
Can I give you two picks I wanted to put, but I ultimately decided against it, but I do like them. I love Toledo plus 11 for some reason, and you got to read about this. Toledo's hosting Miami of Florida.
Yeah, you got one of those random games for us.
And Toledo is projected, according to Bill Connelly, to win 10 or more games this season. They're not a bad little football team. I like Toledo plus the 11, and then I'd go to the NFL too. I put it in our parlay. I'm loving Saints minus 9.
Saints minus 9.
Like, I'm probably too confident in that game.
Bounce back week.
Yeah.
Browns a little fat and sassy after getting a tie and ending their losing streak.
I think there was a lot said in the locker room in New Orleans.
Yeah. There you go. Spring in Line every single Friday. Okay, we'll wrap up the week, get you all set for the games, update the poll questions, and Rebecca Black next on The Fam.
I'm so disappointed.
I needed it in my veins.
I got a serious look from Brandon in the break. Like, dude.
We need this sometimes.
I don't think you understand. We need.
Sometimes you need a little Rebecca Black. You know, look, it's a terrible song.
It's god awful.
It's annoying. Her voice is bad.
We've always acknowledged this, by the way.
There's nothing good about this song.
This
is what I need to know. We have been doing this show now, I think, for almost 3 years.
Our listeners can't start their weekend until they hear it.
Why did you just suddenly get so anti?
What was it?
It was the first football Friday I was here. It's like, okay, we need to stop. It's grown-up time. It's football season.
This is grown-up.
She's 18 now.
No.
Actually, I think she's like 25.
Is she really?
She's old.
I'm all, we'll listen to the, I think we need new Friday closing music.
What, you want some George Jones? Finally Friday.
No, you know again. I don't play country music. We need.
You want Johnny Kemp? Just got paid Friday night?
No.
No. I don't want anything cheesy. That's the whole point.
But sometimes
find me a non-cheesy Friday song.
Sometimes so cheesy is good. This is just a reminder, we're getting the hell out of here.
Well, you are. My night's just getting started.
Oh, I'll be back tomorrow. Yeah, I gotta wake up tomorrow and drive to Eugene. Hey, we reached the rap part of the song. We never reached that part of the song.
I've never heard the rap part.
Yeah, there's a rap solo in here.
Who is that?
I don't know. Some guy. She tosses it to him.
Probably a Justin Bieber or something. A Biebs.
Okay, hey, speaking of which.
Did you think Kevin Todd sounded down?
He sounded down today. He sounded down.
What do you think it was? Not feeling good or losing to me early on?
Probably losing to you.
Yeah.
I think it's, I find it funny because I enjoy the sponsors.
Maybe there was a little more truth in the hurricane comment about the wife that he was letting on.
He did mention that, didn't he? Very true.
That came out of nowhere.
You remember that Bud Light commercial? I was like, oh, he's going to make fun of me here. Where you get yelled at by the refs. That's my life. I'm like, dang, is she about to divorce you? Or
yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
he did. Hey, people have their off days.
There's
always a
shred of truth in those humorous comments.
Here's my thing, though.
It's funny because it's true.
I think it's funny when he has a day like this, but in his situation, your off day can't happen in your moment.
You got your one moment.
Well, like he's on, I think he's on like eight different shows.
Who knows?
He's
doing these rattling off left and right.
You can have an off day, but you're doing 10-minute hits. Like you can just subside the off day for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
We have an off day. It's like, hey, go turn that off for 3 hours. That's not always easy.
No.
Hey, I've been dealing with a lot today. I don't want to talk about this.
Somebody said that's the effect you have on most of us, Sprig.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed that.
Over the line!
Hey, come on!
I'm actually
going to take that as a compliment.
By the way, Swigard, the listeners have spoken to the Better You Today text line. What have they spoken about? Never get rid of it. Don't you dare touch this. Thank you for Rebecca. Stick it, Swigard. Last time you didn't play it, I ended up working on Saturday and Sunday. I fully blame Swag. I had no weekend plans. Thanks.
You know what I say to
Rebecca,
them?
Rebecca.
But I'm now the president of everybody.
Welcome back, Black. I like that. Welcome back, Black.
You know, we jokingly
football can go to hell.
Some AC/DC Back in Black? Why don't we do that?
That's not a Friday song, though. I love that song, and we do play that song. That's not a Friday song.
We have a pretty good music lineup. That's our worst song, and it's set for the perfect time.
Yeah, with the Alan Stone weekend song that we play to start Fridays. I love that song, too.
Right.
That's, you know, it's a good starter on a Friday. Hey, hallelujah, it's Friday. All right.
Before the show, we were talking about giving Mike advice, and we jokingly said, don't get in this industry. You'll make no money.
We were very real with him.
Very real.
Get out now.
We were talking and we jokingly said, you know, who will last longer, a coworker or Swigard? And I said, I think Swigard is ultimately always just going to be talk and never actually follow through with it. It is going to be funny if it boils down to this song playing.
Rebecca Black plays, he just gets up and walks out.
He loses it, and that's what sends him over the top.
I'm done. I am done. I'm out of this asshole. I quit. Somebody said, don't you dare take Rebecca Black away from us. Another one, whoa, guys, the only thing that could ruin my weekend worse than a Sprague pick would be to not get my Rebecca Black to kick it off. I'm TNI. People spoke. Who do we got tonight?
Tonight, a little something different. Mountainside, the Mavericks in their inaugural season of varsity football.
So where's that school at?
That's the new one that's out there on Roy Rogers Road and Shoals Ferry, big, huge monstrosity out there.
It's a super nice school.
John Mannion is the head coach. He took over that program, Sean's dad, after being at Silverton. And they get the Sandy Pioneers, who've made the jump to 6A this year. So that's going to be fun. Nemec and I will be out there, 6:45 pregame. And then across the way, Mount Si coming down to take on
That's the Millen kid, right? They got that Oregon quarterback.
To take on the Fighting Cam Clelands of the Skyview Storm.
That's okay. The 9-10 game?
Yep.
Is Cam calling that game?
No, he's coaching Skyview this year. He's an assistant with Skyview.
Did we at least mic him up?
Yeah, how do we not mic him up?
Well, now you're talking engineering.
Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
Does he do like a halftime hit? Does he do a pregame
hit? No, he's coaching. But
he's not a head coach.
He's an assistant.
Assistants have time to walk over and say, hey, we're going to kick some ass.
Do you want to go tap Cam on the shoulder in the middle of a football game and say, hey, can I get you to do this for 2 minutes?
I would.
Be my guest.
It might be audio gold.
It could be. Are my Warriors going to get a win tonight?
No, they got number one Wilsonville.
Oh, bring it.
My Park Rose Broncos will.
They call us the Giant Killers.
Hood River. The fighting apples.
All right, that'll do it for us. Hey, don't forget, pregame's tomorrow. Anthony Newman, me, Dusty Hare will be down in Eugene. Ducks coverage all day. Boom. Have a good weekend. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next. Monday at noon. Primetime next. Bye.